Particularly appreciate, on kind of short notice, her singing today. The Chimes Choir was supposed to play today, and when I sent my wife down the highway, then we had to change kind of abruptly. And so I appreciate you willing to stand in on short notice. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 4. The book of 1 John chapter 4, and I want to begin again reading at verse number 7 and read down through 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 3. Book of 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? I didn't read that correctly. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I have looked at the very same text. I've read the same text that I read last week. Now, fear not, I'm not going to preach the same message. But it would be interesting to try one time and see if I did and tell whether you can remember what I said last week or whether I did a good enough job to make it memorable. It would be something you could look at either way. But last week we looked at the theme, God is love. That was the title, and the general subject being God's love. And we looked at verse number 8 where it says God is love in this chapter. And we recognize the fact that what it is establishing is the fact that love is a basic, inseparable attribute of God. You can't take love away and still be God. It's part of his essential nature and character. We looked at also the theme, love is of God, and the fact that every good gift, every perfect gift cometh from above. The very capacity that we have to love was a gift from God. That was something that he gave us. And then we dealt in verses 9 and 10 about the fact that God's love is manifested. God has manifested his love. And his love was manifested, of course, in his gift of Jesus, who died on the cross to be the propitiation for our sins. This week, we're using principally the same verses. But what we are going to see today and look at today is God's expectation of our love. What does he expect of us as the children of God? Here in this verse, in verse number 7, it says, let us love one another. That would be the title of the message today. Now, it's interesting, in this epistle of 1 John, the apostle of love has already addressed several subjects before we come to chapter 4 where we're at today. He's already made it plain that love is one of the evidences of the new birth. In chapter 2 in verse number 10, the Word of God says here in this passage, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Remember, in 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so, when we're talking about walking in the light, we're talking about one that is born again. And here it says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. We're talking about the love of the brethren as being an evidence of the new birth. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, being passed from death into life is dealing with salvation. We know it is an evidence to us, a convincing matter proof that we're a child of God when we have love of the brethren. Here's an individual maybe that is doubtful. Am I saved or not? He doesn't have the assurance of his salvation. In 1 John, one of the ways that John has written here, calculated to help assure a person's heart that he's born again, is the fact that he can look and discover, does he see this evidence? Is there evidence in his life that he has love for the brethren? And it is a convincing piece of evidence to give him assurance. But on the other hand, if one has in his heart hatred for his Christian brethren, one of the things it is going to do is plant seeds of doubt in his heart about whether he's really in Christ. And so this is an evidence. You can use it to look and see. He has already dealt with that. Explain the plain fact that love is one of the evidences of the new birth. And that's why it said in John 13:35, "And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." He has also, in previous portions of 1 John, appealed to Christians to love one another. Chapter 3 and verse number 11, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." It is there dealt with in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 3. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him." The two thoughts that we've just spoken of are mingled in that verse. It is an evidence that would assure our hearts, and it is also an appeal to Christians to love one another. And in verse 23 of chapter 3, "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment." So John has already, in the various verses of 1 John, he has dealt with this issue of brotherly love. And now, in the text that we are looking at, he returns to this theme in a very powerful way, giving the supreme example and demonstration of what it really means when he says, love one another. Now, I think it's important that we understand the context of John's discussion on love. John here is not speaking. He's not. 1 John is not a book that is written to describe romantic love. That's not what it's about. What he's saying about love here is not familial love. It's not erotic love. It's none of those things. What he is speaking about in this text is brotherly love. And if you wanted to take the book and sit down this afternoon, you could probably do it in 20 minutes and read the whole of 1 John. You would see that he's speaking about brotherly love. And when I say brotherly love, he is speaking about the love that one child of God has for the other members of the family of God. He is speaking about love within the family of Christ, shared one with another. Now that's important to understand when we see some of the things that John says here about love. And so we want to first see Paul's appeal to believers to love one another, and it's contained in verse number 7. Now, again, these things would relate to love on any level, but it's more particularly for the issue of brotherly love. And it's repetition for the sake of emphasis. Notice we find that it's grounded in the fact that love comes from God. Verse number 7, here's the appeal. Beloved, let us love one another. That's John's appeal, repeated frequently for evidence, and we see it's grounded in this. It is grounded in the fact that God is love. For, it says in verse number 7, for love is of God. If it helps you understand, you could substitute for the word for the other word that we use today, probably more frequently, the word because. He says, beloved, let us love one another for or because love is of God. I quoted earlier from James chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. And I think we can see that love, the capacity and the ability to love is a good gift. It is a perfect gift. It came from God and it comes to us. It grants to us, it gives us the capacity to love one another. How can Brother Don love the preacher who picks on him all the time? How can he do that? The only way he can do it is because of the capacity that God gives him. You understand what I'm saying? It is a gift of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That capacity comes from God. And, you know, when we are the children of God, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. And the outpouring of Christian love is by His Spirit. That's what we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And then there's a whole category of other characteristics that follow. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fact that God dwells within us gives us the capacity to love one another, and we're talking here about brotherly love, Christians loving one another. There's another statement in this verse number 7, and this fact that we are commanded to love one another, love is of God, is confirmed by the fact that, listen, all lovers are born of God. Notice verse number 7. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Throughout the Scripture, the phrase knoweth God and the phrase is born of God are used interchangeably to speak of one who is a child of God. The ability to love, again, we're not talking about romantic love, we're not talking about familial love, we're speaking about brotherly love, the love within the body of Christ. Everyone is what he's saying here. All the lovers are born of God. Those that love the family of God, they're born of God. They're from God. The context is brotherly love, and one of the confirming evidences is this love one for another. Verse number 12 of chapter 4, no man has seen God at 1 John chapter 4, verse number 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, who dwelleth in us? God. The Spirit of God is within us if we love one another. And His love is perfected or made perfect in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him. And He is in us because He hath given us of His Spirit. A confirming evidence that we are a child of God is that we have the capacity to love one another, and that love comes from the fact that God dwells within us. Now, this bedrock truth is stated in a powerful way in verse number 8, and it's stated in a negative way. And this is something that John does frequently. He states it positively, and then he states it negatively in verse number 8. And I read, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Verse number 20, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Now this is said in a powerful way. Let me take this and put it in my own words. Understand, this is not the inspired word of God when I put it in my own words, but I think it helps me at least to understand. Hopefully it'll help you. Verse number 8, you be looking at it while I give you in my own words. "It is not possible for one to have a real and vital relationship with God without being transformed into a loving person." Did you catch that? It is not possible. That's what he's telling us. It's not possible for one to have a real and vital relationship with God if it doesn't transform us into being a loving person. John is saying, I cannot tell you that I have a real relationship with God, that I have a vital, active relationship with God, if I have in my heart hatred or animosity for my Christian brother. When I read verse number 8 and got to dwelling on it, that thing made my eyes come popping open. It's hard. It's a hard statement. I don't know whether I'm willing to say a person can't be saved if they don't possess that love. I've got to think about that some more. But I can say this much. A person is not walking with God and does not have a real relationship with God if they hold that animosity and hatred in their heart, that vitriol for another Christian brother. They're not walking with God. They're out of fellowship with God. That's a hard statement. I didn't make it up. That's what the Word of God says. And the third thing in this text is he sets the parameters and the expectations of love in verses 9 and 10. I read 9 and 10. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Notice these phrases. First phrase, "In this is manifested love." Now I skipped the word "the." "In this," verse number 9, "is manifested love." This is how you perceive it. This is how you tell. I mean, somebody might profess it, but how do you perceive it? How is it demonstrated? How is it shown? "In this is manifested love," verse number 10. "Herein is love." First phrase of it. Now, I recognize, and you could see that very quickly, it's probably already going through your mind, these verses especially describe the love of God. But notice some other surrounding verses in chapter 3, verse 16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion on him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Chapter 4, verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. In these verses that surround us, it insists that we love the brethren, our brethren, in the same manner that Christ loved us. This is how it's manifested. This is how his love is seen. And we're to demonstrate and exercise that same kind of love. As we read verses 10 and 11, these are some words that I think describe Christ's love. Number one, it was self-sacrificing. God gave his only begotten Son. God didn't give Brian's son. God didn't give my son. God gave his son. It was self-sacrificing. The second thing we see here, it was action done for the benefit of another. He sent his only begotten son into the world to be the propitiation for our sins. It was self-sacrificing. It was an action that was done for the benefit of others. And then I think especially, it describes here in this text how God made forgiveness possible. He was the propitiation for our sin. And here we discover that God forgave at his own expense. He didn't say, "I'll forgive Tom when he's worthy of it." That would be at whose expense? Your expense. But he made it possible for Tom to be forgiven at his expense when he gave his only begotten son. Now these are powerful things, and putting it all together, I can't be in a living, vital relationship with God without loving my brother. And how's that love going to be evidenced? Here he gives the parameters, and here he gives his expectations. Real love is at times going to be self-sacrificing. It's going to involve actions for the benefit of others. And it will include forgiveness at my own expense. Not when they deserve it, not when they're worthy of it. But as Ephesians says in chapter 4, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." God for Christ's sake forgave me at his expense. And therefore it says in this text, in verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." When this is evident in my life, it declares the fact that the love of God, verse number 12, has been perfected, made complete in me. His love is not made complete, apparently, until I possess a capacity to demonstrate that same love for others that he had for me. And so we ask ourselves these questions. I say we. I'll use the word to or you, but it's not because I'm pointing at you. It's every one of us. We should ask ourselves, are you in a real relationship with God? Is it real and vital? Or is it just kind of casual and transitory? I'm asking, have you applied the expectations and the parameters of these verses to your Christian brother? If you can't or will not apply, and you'll not forgive, you'll not love, these verses in 1 John chapter 4 suggest to me that I have therefore become the problem. I may not have been the problem in the beginning, but if I'm not willing to forgive and to demonstrate the level of Christian love that John's speaking about, I have now become the problem. Here in our text, and I'm finished today, John says, let us love one another. You know, when we think of love, often we think it's just one of those warm, gushy, kind of good-feeling subjects. But I discover here that John was laying down some pretty strong doctrine for us to obey. Dear Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus, and I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of searching your word. And I pray that the word of God might have its impact in our hearts. Lord, help us to be able to love one another. May that capacity expand and expand and expand more and more in our hearts. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.